I want to welcome everyone here tonight, and I also want to welcome all of our listeners out there that are logging on live, and I really appreciate all that are out there tuned in. I know our numbers are everly increasing, and thanks for connecting to our webpage also, which is www.glorytothenations.org. Yep. Tonight I am here with Pastor Tim on my right and Pastor Sam on my left, and every Wednesday we try to kind of get an idea of what God is trying to say within this hour to those that are listening. And you know, we really want to depend on Him to share with us, not lean on our own understanding, because we don't know really exactly who's out there listening. But I know that there's somebody out there listening that God is really tugging on their heart and probably had a question in their heart, and He's answering it tonight. And a lot of you maybe have been logging on within the last couple of weeks, and we've been sharing some prophetic insight of what is happening and why it's so important about staying tuned with the ministry, because the ministry is flowing. And I want to let our listeners understand what it is to, you know, be a believer and what it means to kind of lay hold of truth. And it's not religion in the sense of knowing the stories from back in the olden days, not following, you know, how can I say, scripture, even though we need to fall under scripture because scripture is truth, but at the same time, the stories of old, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you connect to a ministry and they're preaching and teaching about, you know,
history
and
stories,
theology, and
yeah, help me out over here.
The question is, how's God going to help you today? You know, hearing stories of old, it's just, you know, a lot of preachers don't have anything to say. It's like fresh manna. We give a fresh word in here. It's a now word. And a lot of ministries just get up and tell stories of past stories about Jesus or the apostles. And people leave there and they're like, okay, that was a great story, but how did you help me? How am I going to find peace and joy through that? Or how am I going to be set free from my problems with past stories? I want to hear how God can help you today. I want to hear how God's relevant and alive today.
Well, I want to even take it to our listeners even further. It really isn't all about us all the time, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I want our listeners and those that are out there to understand that God is alive. So if I had to title this service or this night, this gathering for us, this table of discussion, I would title it this way: God is alive, and He's living, and He's moving, and He's doing things in this hour. And, you know, it's great to be involved in ministries that can teach you how to be a good person, you know, how to war against your own demonics, and, you know, because we all have demons. I'll tell you right now, if anybody thinks that you get delivered of your demons, that's a complete lie. We all have demons that torment us, and the only difference is that we put them under our feet.
That's right.
We rise above them, we overcome them, and we put them under our feet. Will they try to manifest themselves back up again? Yes. For example, let's take a form of anger. Anger is a good demon.
Rage,
that plague is actually flowing out right now as we speak. But anger is a big stronghold. It's a principality, a power. And, you know, a lot of us may have some anger issues, and we overcome them. Like, we bite our tongue. You know, we don't hit that guy in the face anymore. You know, we got to hold back.
Self-control.
Resisting it. You got to resist it.
We controlled ourselves, right. Yeah. That is an example of putting your demons under your feet. You control them. You don't let them manifest. So, you know, and one of the things about being a good Christian is to put all your demons under your feet. Those who overcome, I will grant a seat next to you. What are you overcoming? You're overcoming the principalities, the powers, the darkness, the demons that are all within and around.
Everything that steals your peace and your joy. and hold you back from the promise God has in your heart, that God wrote a law, God wrote a life in your heart.
Yep.
And his whole goal was to have you receive that life and walk that life out. And these things that we manifest, we lose control of ourselves, and God's like, I can't bring you into this next stage of your life because you're still immature. I have to build a character in you so you can handle the next stage of your life. I'm trying to build something in you and create a life for you, but you won't learn from your mistakes. You just keep manifesting and manifesting. You don't have control over yourself, though. He puts you in circumstances so you can control yourself and learn and get that more control so you can bring it to the next stage of your life.
Well, getting back with the, I want our listeners to understand that there's no one that's is greater than the other. And we all are fighting the same battles. Yep. We all have the same demons. Your Correct. Demons are the same as my demons. Just depends on how I was able to put them under my feet. Paul described it like, why do I continue to do the things that I don't want to do that I keep doing? And he said it was because of sin that dwells within inside of me. Well, that sin literally is the oppressions, the principalities, the powers of darkness, the wickedness in high places that cause us to do the things that we don't want to do. So we look at the darkness or those powers as sin. But the reality of the true sin is what Sam was trying to say, is God has given us a law that's written on our heart. And that's the law that we need to follow. Each and every one is different. And that's why we are kind of against religion in itself, but not against the truth. We're against religion because religion tries to create you as a cookie cutter person, where the reality is we look you as an individual, and that there's a law written on your heart. I may not know your law. You're the only one that knows the truth, so to say. And that we respect that and honor that. But what we want to build is a foundation of the love of God. And if that foundation of the love of God is in you, then we believe that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that you're going to follow that conviction on your heart and walk without sin. You're still going to have to battle your demons. That's another whole story, right? So,
can I just make an example? You know, having the demons, it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing.
No, we took demons as a bad, scary thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's not, because God put it there.
They're bad habits.
To reveal himself in you, that his power, you can overcome those things, and you can see his love manifested through the whole scenario that when it takes place. You know, when these things manifest and you resist it, you're actually going to see the love of God and the power of God overtake that.
Well, that's the real job of the church.
Yeah.
The real job of the church is to teach you how to embrace the power of God, because when we humble ourselves before God, then God gives us the power to overcome these demons.
Correct.
So, for instance, if you have an issue, let's say with anger, and you can't control that power or principality that's over you, and you humbly cry out to God and say, God, I recognize I got an issue here, help. With that humility, God sends a power that is beyond our understanding and literally starts to set us free and delivers us. And that's where, you know, the church should be teaching us how to overcome these powers and principalities and darkness. Well, what we were saying earlier is God's alive. He's living. And our listeners have to understand that they need to connect with a ministry that is going to bring to the table the ways of God that is happening right now, prophetically speaking, so that we know how to live within the hour. You see, no sense in me doing something if God is not working in that area. For example, we talked about these plagues that are being poured out. And I tell you, we're going to move on past this subject, but our listeners have to hear why we brought it up. Hatred is the first plague that is being poured out. There is a widespread of hatred that is being poured out. Well, that power and principality is going to try to attack your life. So if you overcame hate, okay, and you think you mastered it, well, get ready. There's another storm coming, and you're going to find yourself losing your temper. You're going to lose your cool. You're going to start losing. And to recognize it, you see? And matter of fact, I got a thing on my Facebook the other day, and this guy actually started crying out, why am I starting to hate? Oh man, that opened up the door for the word of God, because I wanted to let that guy know, hey, don't beat yourself up, dude, because I'm going to tell you right now, the principality and power is being poured out. And if you have a knowledge of what God is doing in this hour, you'll be a little bit more free of guilt and shame. Absolutely. And condemnation, because now you know that this power is being poured out and to be ready for it.
That's right. Yep.
You see?
Yeah, now he's not ignorant.
That's the church I want to be a part of.
Yep.
I want to know what God is doing now and what kind of powers and principalities are being poured out now and what is happening now, so that we know how to control and bring ourselves into submission and not beat ourselves up through guilt and shame and condemnation and ruin ourselves. Because if we don't know who we're fighting and what, you know, is out there, we're going to lose the fight. We're going to lose it. You know,
one thing, the difference between what we're speaking on, what we declare in here, is the religious people out there, when you actually analyze them and look at their lives, they put on like a facade. It's a facade that acts like nothing is affecting their life, nothing's going on in their life. They have this like self-righteousness that, hey, I'm fine now. I'm saved. There's no problems in my life. And that's totally false.
Well, you know, just to interact with you, one of the signs of that is they'll find fault in you.
Correct.
Next thing you know, they'll start, you know, diverting from them. Don't look at me.
I'm fine.
Hey, how come you don't have a job yet? You recently got divorced? What happened to little Johnny? I heard he left home, you know? Oh, well, we'll pray for him, won't we? And they divert, really, from what is happening. That's religion. Yeah. I want to point it out to those that are out there. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would really want to come to God. They really want to come to God. They want to work their life out. They want to live in a right order or right standings in the eyes of our Creator. But yet they're afraid or ashamed to come to church.
They're afraid to be
because
judged.
They're afraid of that stuff. Don't point out
judgments.
My fault. Yeah, they know their faults are going to be pointed out.
Yeah.
Because of the self-righteousness that everybody else is carrying on, you know?
And they're not going to feel accepted either.
But the difference between them and us is this. We see everything that you see as a failure as a tool. We see these demons as tools. We see the devil as a tool, just to bring us to a place of humility, to keep us humble. You know, and that's the difference between us and them. They see it as a fault. We see it as a tool for God to use. And we're always building hope on everything. You know, it's a difference.
Well, one of the things is we don't have any control on anything.
Nothing.
And when you know the truth, how can you possibly look at somebody else's life and judge it?
Correct.
You know, all we could do is rejoice and say, thank God that isn't happening to me.
Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't work out anybody else's. You can't. You can only work it out your own.
So with tonight, we want to impress the fact that God is alive and living, and he's moving within this hour, and we need to really keep up with what God is doing. You know, for one, God doesn't care about our righteousness, and I want to make that really clear. No matter what good works you're doing out there, no matter, you know, what good deeds you're doing, no matter what type of person you think you are, you know, Jesus was a good example of really intimacy with God and how to walk with God. And he even put it down where someone says, oh, you're the good master, the good shepherd, and he was like, you know, don't
call me good.
Don't call me good.
There's nothing good with the Father.
What I do is I do according to what the Father tells me, and what I say, I do according to what the Father tells me to say. You know, I'm sure in the back of his mind or in the back of his heart, he's like, I don't even like you, dude. I'm just doing this because, you know, God is moving and impelling on my heart. And he loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and he knew what the Father was doing within that hour, and he understood the responsibilities for what he needed to do in that hour. Everybody is saying to themselves, I just want to do the Father's will. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Oh, what does God want out of my life? I just want to do what God wants. I was created for something, and I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's all. I really love God, and I want God to appreciate me and know that I love him and I want to do his will. How many are out there that felt that way one time or another in their lives? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now, when you're hanging out with somebody within the day, like let's say I'm hanging out with Tim and Sam over here, and we're hanging out, and I don't know their will, you know? I got to kind of ask on a daily basis. It's not like I preconceived his will, and, well, Tim wants me to do this, this, that, and that, and Sam definitely wants me to do that, so I'm going to do this, this, that, and that. No, it's like, hey, what do you want to do?
Right. What's on your heart today?
What's going on? And then he'll move upon your heart on inspirations and stuff like that. And when you can yield to the Spirit, when you can yield to God, it's like the wind blowing. You know, you can set agendas, you can set schedules up, and you can set all these things, but the real voice, the real will of God is how he moves upon your heart. And I want to emphasize this dramatically, because I believe we're in some really exciting times right now. And things are changing. And we all have hopes, amen? I got hopes of maybe tearing down my home and building a new one day and all that other stuff. But I want to tell you right now, God works not only in your life, but he also works in countries. He also works around the world. And he creates, you know, things that happen with economies, you know, and our banking systems and, you know, diseases and things of that nature and wars and all that other stuff. And, you know, I'm sure if you look back at history, let's take something that's safe. Would World War I be safe? When was that? What time period was that?
Like 1916, 18.
Something like that? Yeah. Well, let's just say, let's take war. War's a good example. No one really expected. No one really knew what was happening. And the next thing you know, and all of a sudden, bombs are starting to fall all over the place, and people are being captured, and then they're being persecuted and burned, and, you know, and I'm sure they had some plans, didn't they? Do you think their plans were interrupted?
Yep. And it wasn't their control. I mean, they had no control over it.
Right, because, you know, what happened was a world thing.
Yeah.
Now, that was God's doings. I want to tell you right now, God's in control of everything. God knows what he's doing. And, you know, let's take the old stories of the Bible, you know. There was Noah's Ark, and, you know, there was times where he flooded the ground, and there was Sodom and Gomorrah where they came in and destroyed the cities and all. You know, we can look at these things. Now, I'm saying this because the world around you is going to change. The world around us is going to change. The world around the world is going to change. We can have hopes, we can have dreams, we can have desires. At the same time, God is doing something.
In the moment.
True. And I want people to understand that sometimes your dreams might be put on hold. You know, not my will, but your will be done. We don't know exactly what God is doing. That's why it's so important to be in a live ministry, a ministry that is alive and living. Knowing what God is doing within that hour so that we don't get all worked up and don't, you know, hey, listen, how many have just remembered recently when we had an economical crash where the banks kind of closed down a little bit?
Yeah.
2008. How many were around then? 2008. Okay. I had loans that defaulted. I had my heart set on some real estate and everything else, and I'm ready to, you know, throw some money out there, and the next thing you know, boom, all the deals that I had on the table were just shut down.
Yep.
Oh, well, you see what I'm saying? Now, how many of us caused bitterness and anger? How many of us caused, hatred at that point in time? You know, how many people were disappointed, devastated?
Yeah, because the day before, the day before this stuff happened, life was normal.
Nobody knew what was going on.
And nobody expected it to happen, so you keep going through your patterns that you live every day, and then you're stuck in them.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
It happens.
See, and this is what I'm trying to say. It's good to hear a story about what happened, and it's good to hear about how you can do things to help your life become better. And it's good to understand and how to defeat our demons and stuff like that. But it's also good to know the bigger picture, I want to say. The bigger picture of what God's doing in this hour. In this hour. Now, if I knew that God was going to, you know, bring some calamity in our financial markets or something, you know, it was just held up and not thought it was a normal day. You know, and I want to tell our listeners that because we're living in exciting times, we're on the threshold of some really exciting times. And be happy for what is happening in your life in the moment.
Amen. Yep.
You know, I'm trying to share to our listeners of how to come in and be protected by the glory of God. Like putting the blood around your doorpost, you know, when those last plagues were released. You know, becoming in a place of peace and happiness. There's no guarantees in your life. How many people understand that there are no guarantees in your life? None. Okay, you can go buy a brand new boat. Take that boat out on the waters, be out in the ocean, and you can hit something.
Just get a hole in the boat.
Or a hole. Yep. Yeah, your plug pops out or something. It starts taking on water, and it sinks. I mean, there's just no guarantees in our lives. And it's good to be tapped into the voice of God, the prophetic voice of God, and be knowing what's happening in the heavenlies. For our protection.
Correct.
And that's the difference between how we live our lives, and it differs from religion.
Yeah.
In religion, they're just talking about things that took place prior history in a book, and it's stories, and people try to relate possibly into their life. But they're not looking into what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future. We're tapped in by the Spirit of God because we have a relationship with God, and God reveals these things by His Spirit, and we believe it. We believe in what we say and what we see, and it's just because of our experience with God and our relationship with God that He gives us a peace and a knowing that we know that this stuff is true. And you have to just trust and believe what we're saying.
Right.
Because we've seen God's move so many times in our lives, and that's how we know that we know that we know that God's with us.
Well, you know, a lot of people are living in the past and their past mistakes that they've made, and they can't move forward. They worry about what happened yesterday every day of their lives, or they worry about what's happening tomorrow. They miss God. God is in the moment. God is right now, right here, in the moment, right here. And this is where you find God. In awareness. You're not going to find God worrying about yesterday or tomorrow. You're going to find God in awareness today. Being aware that He's with you, being aware that He's alive, that He wrote a law in your heart, that He's right here with us right now. That's where you find God. You're not going to find Him yesterday or tomorrow. He's in today.
God's speaking through us right now, in this present moment. Mm-hmm. God is declaring His word and His truth for everyone that's listening on the web so that they have an awareness of what's going on.
Yeah.
We're blowing like a trumpet in the Spirit right now. We're declaring His word and saying, prepare, get ready. Something huge is going to happen. And God wants you to be prepared for it so you're not devastated and your life doesn't end.
You know, God talks about prophecy in the Bible. And He says, above everything else that you heal the sick, whatever you do, above everything else, my prayer is that you prophesy. My desire is that you prophesy, that you speak the oracles that I'm speaking to you to prepare my people for what's coming, you know, or what's going to happen, or prepare them for today, you know.
You know, one of the things that I want to add to our listeners, I don't want them to think that there's just no hope out there, you know, because God's moving and things are changing and don't count on, you know, let's say I was looking to tear my house down and build a new one. And that's my desire, okay? But don't count on it.
No.
You know, where you get disappointed because you don't know what God is doing within the time of the
season.
World and the season, you see? And but yet at the same time, I'm going to keep on moving forward in that area of tearing down my home and building a new one.
Well, that's the...
You know, I want them to really understand what is happening and what I'm trying to say. You know, you still have a future. You still have to wake up. You still have to work. You still have to save and earn your money and build for the future. You still have to move forward. You see?
But with all that, realizing that God's like the wind.
Yes.
With
that's
all
my
that.
Point. There's a wind blowing.
Yeah.
And the way the wind blows, you have to be able to... It'd be nice to know. Look, you guys know. I don't know if our listeners know, but I have been called full-time.
Yeah.
And in that, I've learned to just really tap in and wait on the Lord and hear his voice and to be able to know exactly what he's doing. And then I'll share these things with you. And then I know you're waiting on the Lord. And you know, thanks, Jim, Pastor Jim, because I just got an inspiration of that same word that you're giving right now.
Yeah.
And we bear witness of what the Spirit is within all of us. And I want you to know that you have that same Spirit also.
Yeah.
And so if you're open-minded
and
you're honest with yourself
and
you're not criticizing and coming to a place of judgmental and you're literally seriously opening up your heart with a cry, I guarantee what we're saying is bearing witness with what is inside of you. Okay, because it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in all of us. The only thing that separates us from that Spirit is when you come in with judgment in your heart, or you're a naysayer, you're already criticizing and saying, oh, there you go, speaking that same way, you know, message or whatever.
Or you're trying to figure it out and reason with it.
Or, yeah, you're trying to reason. Or you're just putting your head in the sand and you just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any bad. I don't want to hear anything. I got my own problems. I got my own. I don't want to know what's happening around the world or around our economy. I don't want to know what's happening in the atmosphere. I just want to know what's happening in my life.
If you have an agenda, and that agenda you're so set in it that you say, if I don't get this, I don't care if I die. Then you're not open. You know, it's like we're all sitting in the ocean and we're on a boat. And that wind's going to blow you somewhere. And if you're open to have that wind, instead of sitting there not moving forward, if you're open to the wind coming and blowing you away, that you're going to go forward in your life because God is that wind. You're in an ocean sitting there floating, and you have a sail up, and God comes along and blows it. And if you care where he blows you, it's kind of hard for him to take control of your life because you're trying to control it too much. He wants to take control of your life and take you to a better place, to the place where your heart's desires are. You know,
well, this is one thing I want our listeners to really embrace. First of all, the truth. They have to embrace the truth. And then what is the truth? I'm going to tell you right now. The truth is within you.
Correct.
So if you have a hope and you have a dream and you have an inspiration, you have an unction, you have a desire, that's God's will in your life.
Correct.
Your pessimistic, negative attitude and your dreadful, thirsty feelings of hopelessness.
Or how you get there.
and your judgmental, impatient disposition that is inside your heart is robbing and stealing what is really there.
Correct.
If you knew the truth, you would just embrace it, and it may not come in your time frame.
Or the way you think it's going to happen.
Whatever it might be, but the life is there. And it's God's will for you.
Amen.
And you need to just rejoice. I know if it's in my heart for my home to be torn down and rebuilt,
amen,
I know it's going to happen. When? I can't tell you. But I do tell you this. It's in me.
And he's excited about it.
And if it's in me, then it's life.
That's right.
And it's the life that God has given me. Tim didn't want me to tear my house down and build a new one. Sam didn't want me to tear my house down and build a new one. I don't think any of yous really wanted me to tear my house down and build a new one. My own wife was like, I'm content with this house. Why would you want to tear it down and build a new one? Because I just want to. It's in me. And it would be very nice if I could. I would like to see myself tear my own house down with my own backhoe and tear it down. As a matter of fact, I want to dig a big hole where I think there might be some hidden money, you know. We'll call it the McCarty treasure, but that's an inside joke. Yeah, my girl Sarah is going, shh, shh. All my kids are looking at me like, Todd, what are you saying?
You know, here's an example of what we're talking about. There's so many people out there that are career-oriented. They're set in their careers. They got this plan on when they're going to retire and all these different things.
But that's good, though.
Yeah.
That's good because it's in them.
Yeah, but hear me out. We've all had different career paths, and our career paths have changed multiple, multiple times. And one thing I can honestly say is we haven't been devastated or disappointed or depressed by the changes that God did in our lives.
Because we trust God.
Because we trust God. But there's a lot of people out there that
trust themselves,
they trust the career path that they're in, and if that gets pulled away, they're going to be devastated.
I'm going to be a little honest.
Yeah.
There has been changes in my life, and I was a little devastated and scared. Even knowing the truth, just even like taking the position of full-time minister.
But you overcame it, though.
But what if you didn't have God and went through those times?
Oh, forget it. I would have never been able to deal. Yeah. Right. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Listen, he's the comforter. He is the comforter and the Prince of Peace. Look, and without him, there's no comfort or peace. That's the truth.
Look, there's a principality of fear that tries to come in and steal your heart, steal your joy, steal your peace when these circumstances arise. But one thing I can say is, he knew the truth, and he said, no, I'm not going to allow it to rule my life, and he rose above it.
And it built
a character. Exactly.
And that character took him to another place in the heavens in awareness that is unparalleled because his character was built. Without that character being built, he was going to be stuck where he was at and allowing this to manifest. But his character was built to catapult him into the spirit and into an awareness that we just thank God that we can follow.
Well, with that character, I truly believe he builds it in all of us, and it really that character is getting closer to God.
Correct.
It causes us to really lean on our Creator, embrace the life that He has given us, surrender to it, accept it, and then receive it. And as we begin to move forward in that, it does get easier. Look, I know that there are listeners, there's a lot of things that are going on in their lives. And sometimes it just seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel because of some maybe factual situations that came up. You know, you want to advance in your life and maybe your past has caused you to obtain some bad credit or something of that nature or what have you. But, you know, look, God understands and he knows. And you have to understand that if he placed that life inside of you, then he's going to do something within the world that we live in, too, to be able to make opportunities arise for you. So don't ever look at the circumstances today and think, well, because of today and the way things are, that things can't change. You know, God can do a lot of things in your life. You know, one of the things that we have to understand, we judge our own life and we judge the condition of our life. Well, if we can repent and change the way we're thinking. See, we have to also understand how demonic powers work in our lives. Demonic powers, they work alongside of us. And first of all, they act like our best friend.
Yep.
They whisper to us. They've been living with us for a very long time, you know, depending on your powers and your principalities. And they're hugging you, and they love you, and they build a house with you, and they're your best friends. And believe it or not, you can't even recognize sometimes when they're whispering to you because they've been patting you and cuddling you.
You think it's you.
And they've been brainwashing you as if nobody else understands and you can't live without me.
Right.
And then we end up embracing these demonic powers and it creates a bad character. And that bad character, listen, you have to understand these powers and principalities got one thing in mind. To kill, steal, and destroy. And what is that, what they're doing? They're killing your life, they're destroying your life, and they're stealing your life. Okay, what is your life? Your life is your, well, we can even go there, but let's not even go there yet with peace, joy, and righteousness. Let's go there with your ambitions, hopes, your visions, desires, your desires, your dreams, your inspirations, those things that you see on a daily basis that you would like to have in your life. Yep. I mean, I know that if you're like me, which I'm sure you are because I'm a normal life-living being, and you have inspirations, there's things that you want, there's dreams that you have, there's things that you want to accomplish. You know, you want to raise a family, or you want to create business opportunity, you want to be independent, you want to be respected, you want to be loved. I mean, you want to go places, you want to accumulate toys and have fun, you want to go on vacation, and you know, you want to bless people with extra things, you know, and you want to be able to buy something, and then if you don't like, you want to be able to give it to somebody and hope you can bless them with it. I mean, let's be real, these are normal life being characters that have been placed in you by our living God. Well, those dark forces try to put in all those little negative things saying, you know, well, you can't do that because look at the way the economy is.
It'll never work.
You can't do that because, you know, you already spent the money that you should have spent on this.
You can't afford that.
You can't afford that. Well, look at you. You're too old. You can't do that. Well, look at you. You know, you're in a position now that, you know, this isn't taking place in your life. Or that's you can't do that. Right. Well, you know what? We can. And if there's obstacles in our way, let's do something about them. I got a 2-year vision right now. God has called me into ministry, and everyone knows, you know, it's the financial situation when God calls you into ministry. And, you know, there's other little things that I can do that will generate the little extras that I need to be able to accomplish the things that I'll be able to do. You know, is it going to happen overnight? No. It's probably like a 2-year plan. But, you know, how fast is 2 years?
Think
about
really.
It. I mean, if I didn't have the pillars in my life to keep me up, like Tim, he's a pillar in my life, and financially and spiritually and everything else. Sam and those others, Pastor Kirk, if I didn't have these pillars in my life, you know, it would be a lot harder. And I'm very, very deeply appreciated with words I can't even express. And the way I look at how I can give back is to constantly see what God is doing within this hour, continue to reveal these mysteries, and get us to a place where our families are blessed. Right. How many of us want to be blessed by the hand of God? Well, I know that God is saying to me, that, listen, there's going to be troubles and tribulations, and there's going to be uncertainties that are going to be coming in the future.
Yep.
But these things are not going to affect the children of God. And now I just have to make sure what it is to be a child of God and get everyone to understand the importance of being a child of God. And it's very simple. One, throw all your thoughts away and just trust and love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you don't know him, just take out worry and fear and judgment out of your heart. Just take it out. Just say, okay, God, you know, I thought this was going to happen this week, but guess what? It's not happening this week. Well, I got a bad letter, Lord, but you know what? You never would give me more than I can't handle. I'm sure I'll be able to handle this, and it's just a matter of time. You know, just give me the courage to open it up. You know, just give me the strength to look at it, you know. Give me the strength to move forward, you know. Put God in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's about as simplest that I can say. Then the important part, we spoke about the pearl of peace. And we really got to polish that pearl of peace. And we can't let anything steal our peace at this point in time. You know, I would say last year or the year before, it was okay if your peace was a little tainted and a little darkened and a little scarred, and you were walking around with a little lack of lacquer there. But I'm saying in this hour now, because God is telling me, get the people to polish their peace right away. You know, it was no different than when God says, I'm going to release these plagues on earth. Go out there tonight and put the blood around the doorposts.
Right.
You know, these little things, God is speaking to us. And this is why I say God's alive. And we really need to get connected to a ministry that is alive. And if you're out there listening and you don't have a ministry or you don't have a church, get connected with us. We're a live ministry. And we'll tell you that, look, God is doing something. I might not know in detail or what have you, but I will tell you this. Put that blood around your doorpost. Or, you know, not necessarily. Don't put blood around your doorpost.
But that
what
peace,
God is saying is
that peace going.
Rub that pearl of peace.
Yeah.
That's right. Explain to them what the pearl of peace is, Tim, so that people understand, you know, what we're trying to say here. You know, like, Sam knows what the pearl piece is. We got to just explain to these people, because this is what God's saying now.
When you
rub that pearl piece.
You know, when you walk by faith and you have a trust in God, what manifests is there's a peace that's within your heart, because you have a full confidence in God, and He allows the peace and the joy and the righteousness to manifest in you. That peace, you need to withhold. Actually grab a hold of that peace and not let anything come in that's going to steal it. You got to protect it, you got to nurture it, and you got to allow it to continuously grow in your life. You know, and there's going to be a lot of different circumstances. There are going to be things that are going to rise that are going to try to, like we're talking about the little demons that come in to try to snatch that peace, and you got to resist it, you know, and allow those things to flee and get out of your life so that you can keep that peace. You know, there's an example in the Bible where in the Old Testament, Moses' daughter got raped by a guy.
Hmm.
And he held his peace. The Bible says he held his peace and did not get angered or anything. And God actually did the vengeance on that person for what he did, because he held his peace. He actually saw God manifest on his behalf on that.
Hmm.
But that's the whole thing. You got to keep your peace. No matter what circumstance you're in, Sam was saying it earlier, be aware. Be aware of the circumstance. Be aware that you have the peace, and resist those enemies. Resist those demonic forces or whatever that's trying to come in and steal it or trouble your heart. Keep that peace going so that it continues to manifest. Because, you know, the Bible says Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He hoarded that peace. He didn't allow anything to affect it. You know, he even walked on water during a storm, you know, and he held his peace, and he was able to walk on the water, and his disciples saw that, and they were amazed. They're like, man, this guy can go through any storm, any circumstance, and he's holding his peace. Well, that's what we have too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you need to get locked into a body that's communicating the way we are, because I talk to Sam. Pastor Sam. I talk to Pastor Jim. I talk to Pastor Kurt. We throw things on each other, you know, and we encourage each other and we uplift each other with that peace, because we know when there's demonic forces that are trying to come in and steal that and snatch it away from us, and we're able to see into each other's lives and help each other out to keep that peace going.
Yeah, you know, a major part of keeping your peace is realizing that you can't control anything in this world except for yourself. When you try to control other things, other people, anything, you're not going to be able to do it, and you're going to feel helpless. But you can't control yourself, and that's a major key in this keeping your peace. You know, is self control, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You have to have self control. You have to control yourself from manifesting. To start resisting the enemy, like Tim just said, if you feel the anger coming up, take a step back. Like Pastor always says, don't live in the world. Watch your life. Don't live your life. Watch your life like you're watching a movie, so nothing affects you. If you're in a movie, watching a movie, and something happens, you don't like, turn the channel. Or you, who cares? But when you care, when you have cares, when you're trying to control everything in the world and things don't happen your way, you lose your peace, you lose your joy. But when you realize that the only thing you can control is you, that's a major step in keeping that pearl of peace. And you know, listen, Pastor was saying it earlier, but the truth is, this is easy to get a hold of. Go to glorytothenations.org and listen to the messages. Get them in you. Listen over and over and over and over again. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The reason why we're not being transformed is because our mind is thinking the same way it thought yesterday. We're not changing the way we're thinking. We're not getting any trust. We're not getting any nothing's happening. We're not changing. We're going insane by doing the same things, thinking the same way every single day, looking for different results. But listen, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to these messages. Just listen to them. You don't have to understand them all at once. One day it's just going to hit you. You're going to be like, oh my God, I got it. And you're just going to sit back and go, oh my God, I just found life. I just found a life eternal. I just found salvation. I just found God. Because he will transform you by the renewing. The only way to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind. There's no other way to get transformed. There's no other way to get this except for renewing your mind. And we have the truth in these past messages that will do it. I guarantee it. I gave a CD to a friend of mine. Didn't even think anything of it. He called me the next day 5 times. What was on that CD? I can't believe it. I just found God. And this man's life was changed in one moment. You don't know what God's going to do. It might take one message for him to change your life and renew your mind and transform you. And you will have peace and joy for all eternity. That's all we're asking. Just give us a shot. Just give this message a shot. Give these messages a shot. And watch what God does in your life. His word never returns void. You'll never waste your time. You will get everything he wants you to get out of these messages. Give him a chance.
You know, and the good thing about it is if you take the simplicity of what we're trying to say, I'm out of time right now, but I hope we can get this tail end in. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind. Forget about everything else. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind. Polish that pearl of peace. And despite what is happening, what God is doing around the world, what God is doing around your world, around your family, and you just do this. You just polish the pearl of peace and love God with all your heart. You're going to find out that your hope and your dreams and your desires are going to be fulfilled. Your life will live.
Correct.
Where other lives will die.
That's right.
Their dreams, their hopes, their visions will stop. They will be on hold until they get connected to the truth. You have to understand spiritual life, and you have to understand why hopes and dreams live and why they don't. Okay? And I'm going to try to tell you within the next couple of weeks the importance of keeping the pearl of peace polished and loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind so that you live. And not only will you live, but you will have eternal life. And that eternal life is possible now on earth. It's not a death eternal life. It is a life that is within you. And no matter what is happening around you, whether the economy crashes, God will supply the money for you to do the things that you need. No matter what is happening around the world or around your neighborhood or the devastations in your town or whatever, or in your family, they're going to say, how come you're blessed and everybody else is falling apart?
It says, though 5,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 will fall at your right, not one arrow will hit you.
Yeah. So if you just take this word serious and not mock it, because I remember there was a part where what was it, Sarah? Who was it that laughed at the
Sarah
word of God?
Abraham.
And what happened real quick? Tell that story.
Abraham was told by God that he was going to have a son at a late age in life.
At a late age, yeah.
And he told his wife, and his wife inside of her was laughing and mocking God, saying, yeah, how am I supposed to have a child at this age?
So she didn't believe what was being said. She kind of giggled and laughed at it, mocked it.
So through her reasoning, she took her slave servant and had her sleep with Abraham to have a child with him, thinking, oh, that's how God wants you to have a child. And God's like, no. God actually had her conceive the child after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, so she did get blessed, but...
And then that child turned cursed and all that other stuff.
Ishmael and Isaac, yeah.
Yeah, it became a big mess, hot mess. But with that being said, we're out of time. Please continue to log on, like Pastor Sam said, and, you know, and just connect and live with the living word that God is speaking today. And love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the word of the hour right now.
Rhema word.
And polish that peace pearl there. And you're going to see that when the plagues do come, it's not going to affect your household. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Tune in this Sunday.
Yeah, tune in this Sunday.
Come in this Sunday. Come here. Get in here and listen to this guy alive. It's awesome.
If you can.
Make it a choice. Get in here. I'm telling you. Never be the same.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise.
Yeah. Woo!